when I'm feeling afraid, full of uncertainties, when the plans that I've made all fall apart.
Praise the Lord. That is...
For I have not forsaken thee. I will be with you all the way, even until the end of the world. Your trial is a test. You must keep your eyes upon me, and I will refine you as pure gold, saith the Lord. I want to conform you to my image. Look to me through the difficult times in the trials of this life, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Just worship the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This house. That was a word from God to you this morning. He has not forsaken you. The Lord has not forsaken you. The presence of difficulty does not mean that God has turned his back. That's a lie of the enemy. Look to the Lord. Ask the Lord what he's trying to do in you. Ask him. Even if he allows the enemy to attack you, he'll get the good out of it. He'll make you like him. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
He will be faithful to the end.
Oh, yes.
He will provide time and time. Be faithful to the end. And he will be there when all else fades. His love is stronger than my pain. He will be faithful. Yeah.
Hallelujah. This time we're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church, age 5 to 11. Thankful for this church body, this body of believers. Because I know that you love the Lord. Isn't he? God's always faithful. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 11. While you're turning there, I want to thank you so much, so very much for your continuous prayers for the ministries of Harvest Time Church. We are just adding children daily to the Christian school, or at least interviewing with good possibilities, young kids. We like to take in the young kids into the very, very, very seldom do we allow an older student just to come in that hasn't been here for a long period of time. And you know, for the last 10 years, I'm a very optimistic guy. I'm always thinking this is the year this school is going to take off, and we'll add 3 or 4 or 5 to the school, and that's God's timing, and I'm okay with that. God grows it according to his timing and his way. But this year has been just been amazing for our school of ministry, for our Christian school, for Bright Beginnings Child Care Center, and we're just so grateful for the blessings of the Lord. It's all about the kingdom. Man, I always feel that way, but the last 4 or 5 years, seeing the fruit coming out of the school is just, it's amazing. So we want to thank you for your prayers, your financial support for the Christian school. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in the sanctuary. Lord, those of like precious faith have gathered together. And we've gathered for one purpose, to love, to lift up, to magnify the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask you this morning that you would anoint every ear that we can hear what the Spirit would say. Let the Word of God transform us, change us, oh God. I pray for that special on my lips of clay. I want to become as your oracle this morning. We ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach the simple thought on cast your bread upon the waters. You know, one of the saddest things to me as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel, is when I'm constantly coming in contact with those who have regret because of their past decisions. It's a regret because of things they didn't do or opportunities that they let pass them by. Listen, every single one of us in this house and those watching by Facebook has regrets. We all have made mistakes. We've all allowed opportunities, not only in the natural, but many times in the spiritual, to pass us by. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand that it's easy to live in the could have, the would have, and the should have. We can't live in that place. My Bible says, Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying, wherever you are, repent, get it right, and stop looking at the past. Don't let your mistakes dictate your future. Can I get a witness in this house this morning? It's very important that we move on. And I want to say that on the onset of this message, that we don't live in past mistakes and we don't live in regret. But on the flip side, I have to inform you and warn you that we need to keep from having regrets. We need to be careful about the decisions that we make. We need to be very careful not to allow opportunities to slip by us. Opportunity is something that appears just very quickly, and whenever it passes, you cannot grab a hold of it. Ladies and gentlemen, every one of us have fleeting opportunities coming our way constantly in the natural and in the spiritual, and we must make sure that we apprehend every opportunity. We need to learn a balance. I'm a workaholic, but I love to work in the kingdom. I especially love to work in this church and to work in ministry and to help people. Why? Because those things are eternal. But I have to learn a balance between my natural life and my spiritual life. We all need balances in our lives. Some people concentrate so much on being productive in achieving things, they seem to have no enjoyment of life. Others are so consumed with enjoying life that they seem to waste opportunities to invest in being productive for God's kingdom. God Almighty has designed our lives to be both productive and enjoyable. Listen, he wants you to have a good time with your family. He wants you to go to the lake. He wants you to go on vacation. He wants you to spend time with your family. But he also wants you to be about your Father's business. And we, you and I, as Christians, we need by understanding the value of time. Time is our most valuable commodity. Every one of us need to understand this. Time is passing by. There's seconds on the clock that are ticking on the clock right now. Minutes are going by, hours and days. It just seems like we turn around and we're 30 years old and then we're 45 years old. I remember when I used to think 30 was an old person. Now I think they're just children. 30 years old, wow. My, how time passes by. Time is our most valuable commodity. Each and every one of us only have so much time. God has given us all an allotted amount of time. I want you to stay with me today. And once time passes you, you can never get it back. Listen to me. Roger Staubach, he was a great quarterback. Ball games today and wishes, man, I wish I could go back. But he had a time, an opportunity in his youth where he could play football. And once that opportunity has passed, it's over with. All he can do is think back to what he could have, should have, and would have done if he could go back. Time is very precious. Each and every one of us only have so much time to spend. And once time passes, you can never get it back. I remember giving my children some money when they were younger, and I said, listen, guys, this is all the money you're going to get on this vacation. You better spend it wisely. Well, we all have a certain amount of time, and we had better spend our time very, very wisely. And this thought comes right into play in this book, Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Solomon, we know, was the wisest man that's ever lived. This man wrote Proverbs, which we call the Book of Wisdom. And he reminds the reader in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 of the value and how valuable time and opportunity is. He begins to deal with the age-old problem of people who refuse to do something. Come on, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, I would mow the grass today, but it's a little hot. I understand that if you're going to have a heat stroke, it may not be a good time. But listen, if you don't mow the grass today, whenever it's a little warm outside, you're going to have a downpour tomorrow, and you ain't going to be able to mow the grass. How do I know that? I know that by experience. Oh, listen, we all look at life and we say, you know what? If the circumstances were a little bit better, I would do a little bit more for God. Come on, you know, we've all done that. When the grandkids, whenever they get done and we can help raise the grandkids, we're really going to go and do something for God. Whenever my job starts paying me a little bit money, more money, I'm going to change what I'm doing, and I'm really going to do something that I've always wanted to do. Listen, I'm going to tell you what Solomon is saying in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 is the age-old problem. We're waiting for the right circumstances, and if you're waiting for the right circumstances to do what God's called you to do, your fleeting opportunity is going to pass you by, ladies and gentlemen. We have the mind of God and the timing of God, but there are things that God just wants us to do. I'm reminded of Reinhard Bonnke, the great evangelist for Africa. He said, they that diligently seek the will of God are overrun by them who do the will of God. There are certain things God just wants us to do. Here in this book, he deals with this age-old problem of people refusing to do something because the circumstances aren't right. If you read in that fourth verse of Scripture, he says it like this. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What does this mean? This simply means that farmer that goes out there, you know, back in these days, they didn't have the kind of machines that would hold the ground. They would just take their hand in a bucket full of grain that they had saved from the previous season. And they would take that grain and they would throw that grain in certain directions where they wanted their crops to grow. When the farmer would go out there and in the elements, and he would begin to see that the wind was blowing too much, he would take that grain and he'd look around, and Solomon says the one that really doesn't understand opportunity, he'll look at the wind, he'll look at the circumstances, and he'll go back in the house, he'll just say, it's blowing a little bit too much today, I'll do it another time. And he goes out the next day in the same problem, and he keeps procrastinating, he keeps missing an opportunity. Oh, listen, you and I do the same thing in so many areas of our life. We're more equipped, we're more qualified. You know what I'm talking about. I'm just as guilty as you are and waiting for a better time. But there are times that God just wants us to move. God just wants us to do. We must seize the moment. It was Leonard Ravenhill who said the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. Oh, listen, church, we must face situations where we seize the moment immediately. Human nature is always procrastinating because the circumstances just isn't right. And the window of opportunity passes them by, passes us by, and we'll never get it back. He says in the first verse of Ecclesiastes, for thou shalt find it many days. What does that mean? When he talks about the bread, God is talking about those things which you can commit to him, such as your talents, finances, ministries, and gifting. And the Bible teaches us that this is the kingdom way. We commit that thing to God and we cast it to him. We give it to God. Listen, every one of us, we all have different talents and abilities and gifts. However, if we do not throw them away, we will not be effective in the kingdom. And when I say throw them away, I'm talking about casting them, using them for the kingdom of God. There are things that need to be cast. There are things that need to be used continuously if you want to keep getting it back. I believe it. If it's time that we can get busy and get about the Father's business. Whenever you begin to witness, when you begin to use those gifts and talents and finances and abilities, God will bless you so many times greater. But he's not going to bless anybody who buries their talent in the ground. So often we don't cast our bread on the water because the situation is just not right now. It's too windy, it's too cloudy, it's too hot. I'm referring to all of the different things that we go through in life. So many circumstances that we're waiting for a better time. Oh, listen, the time is now. This is the most important moment in your life. What time is it? It's the now time. It's right now. Whatever time your clock says, it's time to make a decision. It's time to get a bulldog grip on the things of God. Latch a hold of the horns of the altar and begin to pray right now. It's time to get serious with God. It's time to be about the Father's business because the fleeting moments of opportunity are passing us by. Back then, the farmer didn't have all the things that we had today. He'd just take the seed and some would put it off if the wind was blowing too hard and they were afraid it would be carried away. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. I understand God has a timing. I don't want to misconstrue when it comes to God's timing and his perfect will. There are things that we have to wait on the Lord. The minister must wait on the ministry. There are certain times when it comes to relationships. And listen, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. When it comes to waiting, God's going to make us wait oftentimes. And if we get ahead of God when he tells us to wait, we're in a heap of trouble. But if we don't seize the moment, whenever the moment passes us by, that's why we need to stay in the altar, have quick understanding and discernment, because if you're not really keen in the things of the Spirit, that opportunity, wondering why I missed that opportunity. That's why we need to pray, get the mind of God. God may be sending you somebody. It may be the mailman who couldn't fit the box in your, couldn't fit the big box in your mailbox, and he brings it to your door, and the Holy Ghost says, deal with that man about his soul. You're saying the Holy Ghost would really do that? Absolutely, positively. And you could win that man's soul to Christ. Why? Because God may have been dealing with him, and he may have put a fleece before God and said, if you'll just have somebody share the never-dying love with Christ, I won't commit suicide today. And all it takes is somebody that'll put their hand in that grain and cast that grain. You cast your bread on the water. I'm telling you, God wants to use us in this last day, but we must be sensitive to his voice, and we must not wait for every circumstance to be right and to be perfect. I can tell you, I've heard young people say, I'm look at them and say, man, you're going to be 50 years old before that takes place. You're going to be past your childbearing age. Listen, whenever God speaks to you, you don't have to have all the circumstances right. Just do it. I'm not telling you to go get married right now, so don't misconstrue what I'm trying to say. But what I am saying is this, that God has a timing. Listen, we are all aging. Time's passing us by. It's time to get serious. Stop being so afraid to step out of the boat a little bit. Peter was the only one out of the disciples when Jesus said, come. And he stepped out of the boat. A miraculous thing took place. Listen to me. I'm referring that somebody needs to quit their job and go on the mission field. Don't you dare get that idea or that you need to be on the evangelistic field or you need to pastor a church. Listen, I know people that just want a pulpit. I know preachers that want a prestigious place in a pulpit, but they won't witness to the lady at the grocery store. They want to preach. They want a prominent position, but they don't have a burden for the lost. Listen, I'll tell you what the perfect will of God. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is he saying? He's talking about the mailman, the grocery store lady, the guy that's at the gas station, the guy that's working on the side of the road. Make sure you pull your car over, you don't get hit by another car. But listen, whoever it is, whoever God puts in your path, he wants you to witness to. Put your hand down in the grain bucket and cast your seed out. Cast your bread on the water. And God have the perfect circumstances or the perfect situation. They would, oftentimes those farmers would not cast their seed because the wind was blowing, or they wouldn't go get their harvest because it was cloudy outside. But the Egyptians in Solomon's day understood a little bit better. Oftentimes the Nile River would rise above the banks and it would flood the whole area. And the Egyptian people, they knew that if it was flooded during time to plant, they couldn't plant. So what they would do is they'd take their seed and they'd cast it on the water. This is a practice that the Egyptians did. And what would happen? That seed would go everywhere. They didn't have a perfect little garden with it, with rows of grain. No, whenever they cast that seed or that grain on the water, what would happen is that seed would go seeded. That seed would lodge in certain places. And in certain places, there would be a big harvest, and it might be in a strange place. And then in the place where they wanted it, there might be just a small little harvest. What's the point? They cast their seed or grain, bread, upon the water. They did what they had to do when they had an opportunity to do it. Do you hear what I'm saying? There may be a space of time, ladies and gentlemen, because you haven't planted, you haven't done what God's called you to do, that you may lose something big in the things of God. You could lose a family member. You could lose out in your ministry. You could lose out when it comes to the most important things that God has planned for you. It's time to start casting some. It's time to be sensitive to the still small voice of God so we can discern between the flesh and the spirit and do when God tells us to do it. They cast their seed out and they ended up getting a harvest. I've got a word for somebody in this house. No deposit, no return. No deposit, no return. No deposit, no return. The reason why you're not flourishing possibly is because you have not invested in the things of God. Not just financially, but you're waiting for things to come your way. No, a farmer, he has that land. Oh yes, God created everything. He's the one that creates the seed and causes all the things to grow and to flourish. And he made the ears of corn and he made the tomatoes and all those things. But God is called to plow the field. He's got to plant the seed. He's got to cultivate that garden. And God's called us to do something in this life. We've got to work. No deposit, no return. Don't wait to cast your bread on the water. Somebody needs to hear this today. Don't you get ahead of God and do something foolish. But listen, if you'll pray and hear his voice, you can do what he calls you to do and do it now. Don't hold on to a handful of grain whenever it's harvest time. Don't hold on to a handful of grain whenever, especially when you're older and you could possibly be crossing over very soon. Listen, talents, finances, ministry, and your gifting. Somebody that wants to come to the school of ministry. I'm not going to give you all the details of what's happened, but Thursday, I got a text message from somebody in this church. And they asked me, is this person coming to the school of ministry? And I said, well, I know that they said if they can get the finances. That's not the case with everybody, but with this particular person, if they can get the finances, they'll come. Text to the person in this church that asked the question. So I called this potential school of ministry student. I won't tell you if it's a first-year student or a second-year student. I said, are you coming? You said you wanted to come. Are you coming? They said, well, I just got a job and I'm looking for a second job. My mom and dad cannot do this. They're barely paying their bills, but I'm working with everything within me to come to the school of ministry. And I said, well, I've got some news for you. And this person seemed a little startled, almost as if I wasn't going to accept him or the school wouldn't accept him into the program. Yes, sir, what is it? And I said, well, somebody in this church just told me that they're paying for your whole... They got quiet and the individual just started weeping and they said, you have no idea. You don't know. It's not just my finances, but me and mom and dad begin to seek the Lord and pray and we're asking God for a miracle and we got us a miracle. That individual could not believe it. I called the person who did it and they said, I was sitting at my desk and God spoke to me to help that person. Let me tell you what they did. They took what they had. They would reach down in the bucket, got a handful of grain, and they cast it out there. What are you saying? I'm telling you, it'll make an eternal difference in somebody's life whenever you cast your bread on the water. When you refuse to hold all your grain to yourself and give it to somebody else. What if that person said, it's my savings? I'm going to give to World Harvest Missions. I'm going to give to the poor in the church. I'm really going to start obeying God in my finances. Whenever I'd sell this, do this, reach this position in my job or whatever else. Listen to me. There's a lot of souls that are dying and going to hell right here, right now. And I can tell you, God wants us to reach down in our grain bucket. If you got the money, you don't hear this preacher ever, hardly ever talk about money. But I'm going to tell you, God wants us to do what we got to do with the time that we have to do it. Brother Clendenin said it like this. Port missions, another soul just died and went to hell. Another soul just died and went to hell. Another soul just died and went to hell. But we're waiting for our savings account or our situation to get better. No, it's high time that we reach into the grain bucket and cast our seed out there in the field or throw your bread on the water. Listen, hear me, church. Don't you dare die with a handful of grain. Don't die with a handful of grain. And I don't think there's any rich people in this house, but if there's anybody watching by Facebook and you're a millionaire and you're fixing to die, give to the church. Lord, have mercy. Your kids are going to fight about it. They're going to split the whole family over the deal. Cast your bread upon the waters. Our school's not finished yet. We're fixing to start a work in Nicaragua. And I got some other ideas, too, to help the poor and the needy. Oh, listen, cast your bread upon the waters. Don't die with a handful of grain. I'm telling you, I understand the prosperity gospel. They're sick out there. It's money-greedy preachers out there wanting to rob the poor and the needy. Giving have never changed. He says in Luke 6 and 38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, would men give to your bosoms. Listen to me. There's only one place in the scripture that I'm aware of that God puts a challenge before man. It's in Malachi. He asked the people of God to prove him and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. You bring all your tithe and your offerings into the storehouse and see if I won't open the windows of heaven over your life. Listen to me. As far as I know, there's no other challenge that God puts before man like he does in Malachi when it comes to money. Yes, I don't believe this is a slot machine. You don't put a quarter in and get 10,000 out. But I'm going to tell you, God does bless way more than what you give. If you give with the right heart, with the right spirit, I'm telling you, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen his seed out begging for bread. David Wilkerson said, in the time of plenty, God will protect you and keep you during the time when America's going to go through the next Great Depression. I believe that God knows how to take care of his people. If you give nothing, you will receive nothing. That is a kingdom principle. If you do not give things over to God, God cannot fix it. If you do not pray, you cannot get answered prayer. Well, that's a deep revelation right there, isn't it? If you don't pray, You cannot get answered prayer. If you don't give an offering, you cannot receive a harvest. If you do not witness to people, you're never going to see souls saved. Listen, it's not a hard principle. Cast your bread on the water. God will always ask you what you have. What's in your hand? What did he give you? What talents? What abilities? What knowledge do you have? God will not give you things if you have not given something first. He does not do anything with nothing. If you multiply zero with a million, multiplied by zero will always equal to be zero. If God's promise to you is a hundredfold, the return will be nothing if nothing is given to be multiplied. It's not a hard principle. Listen, it's not difficult to understand. We've got to give. We've got to give of ourselves, give of our talents, give of our abilities. You remember, and it's in Matthew chapter 25, the talents that were given. And this is a very sobering passage of Scripture. One was given five talents, and one two, and one. Whenever the Lord went away, he required them to do something with what he had given them. Listen, multiplication is a big deal with God. It's a big deal. God gives you something. If whenever he returns, he's going to require something that he gave you. Whenever he came back, the one that had five talents, he presented to his master five more. He ended up having 10 talents. He multiplied it. He did something with what God had given him. And the Lord said, the master of the house said, enter in thou good and faithful servant to the joys of the Lord. The one that had two talents, the one who had two, gained two more. Now, listen, he wasn't as talented as the one who had five, but he had two talents. Listen, not everybody has the same talents, the same abilities. All God requires of you, he may have given you less than somebody else, but he expects you to do something with what he's given you. The one who had two multiplied it and got two more. Give me a little bit more volume, my friend. He got two and ended up being four. And then the one who he was afraid. You know those people who are bashful and who are a little bit insecure and they just don't use what God's given them. And they feel like it's a legitimate, justifiable excuse. I'm uncomfortable. I'm shy. I just don't think very highly of myself. Surely God will excuse me. You better think again. Because the Bible says whenever that one came and presented that one talent before the Lord, you know what he said? He said, "Why?" He said, you know that I require something of you. And he said, well, I knew that you were a hard man and that you reap where you have not sown. And so I was afraid and I went and hid that talent in the earth. And it doesn't matter what it was. It could have been finances. It could have been abilities. It could have been a ministry, whatever it was. It was between him and God. And he dug in the earth, he's afraid. And the Lord cast that unprofitable servant in outer darkness. The Bible never said that he was a drunkard or a whoremonger and slothful. He's lazy. He just went through life and enjoyed, worked hard. I'm sure he worked hard. But the thing that God gave him to work in the kingdom, he did nothing with it. Stop waiting on the ideal time and season to do what you know you're supposed to be doing. I'm not saying quit your job or do all these crazy things. God may have called you to do that, but you better know that's God. Everybody in ministry faces this. And when I say ministry, I'm not talking about just pulpit ministry. I'm talking about all of us are ministers of the gospel. We're all called to do something. We're all called for the harvest. And we must be a risk taker. Solomon is basically saying you cannot predict the forces and the powers of nature. So if you're always going to sit around waiting on the right opportunity, you may just miss out. Look at this text one more time in verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. The first part of this is the one that's sowing seed in this winding. He says, not today. And he goes back in the house. Next day he comes out. He's getting ready to take his bucket of grain and sow some seed. And it's windy. So he goes, I'll do it another time. But when harvest time comes, he don't. And the other part of this verse talks about the one who actually did sow. Everything was just right for him. the circumstances were right, and he gets a harvest. I want you to picture this. It says, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. So we're talking about a sower and a reaper here. The other one, the second one, his farm was full. I want you to picture, let's just call it corn. It was probably something else, but I love corn. Man, I love corn. I want you to picture a farm, beautiful farm full of corn. Long, beautiful, yellow, luscious corn. Woo! With butter. Well, that comes later. And it's ready for harvest. And the harvester looks out. He gets corn to put it into the barn and really sell it for the financial gain. And he looks up and there's a dark cloud coming. He says, well, I don't think we're going to do this today because I don't want to get wet. I don't want my men to get wet. They complain too much when they get wet. So we'll wait. We'll wait a little ways. The next day, there's another cloudy sky that comes. And so often, he does that. And he procrastinates. He puts off to a better time, a better situation, until every beautiful, yellow, luscious piece of corn rots on the stalk. Why is this? Because he regarded the clouds and he did not reap. My Bible said, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Don't regard the voice of God and do what God tells you to do. Don't regard the clouds and don't pay attention to the wind. The next day, it's over with. What a waste. Harvest time, church, let me just say this. It is harvest time. But the circumstances aren't right whenever we have an opportunity to witness. You know what I've learned to do? I've learned to, whenever the Spirit of the Lord deals with me, I don't argue with him. If he deals with me, I try to respond quickly. And the quicker I respond, the greater the miracle that takes place. Especially when it comes to witnessing. Let me tell you, God is for us to reach the lost and the dying of this world. Very seldom will the devil tell you to witness to somebody. Is that God or the devil? Well, the devil wants them to go to hell. And if the Spirit of the Lord deals with you to witness to him, I can tell you it's probably the Holy Ghost dealing with you. And if you'll listen to him, I can tell you you're probably going to see a harvest. It is harvest time. It's not too windy. It's not too sunny. I don't care if it's raining outside. We got a drive-through. I tell everybody know that today. It doesn't matter. It's harvest time. It's time to sow the seed and to gather the harvest in. It's time to do some sowing and to plant some seed. But there is so many out there that are ready to be brought into the church house and to receive Christ and to be discipled and changed by the power of God. That is what this church has been called to do, to reach the lost and the dying of this world. Can someone come to the piano? It's a sad indictment on the modern church today when we squander away our talents, finances, ministry, and is get down in the bucket, get yourself a handful of grain, and you sling that. Sometimes you may be strategic and throw a seed, but it's time to cast that seed out there. Cast your bread on the water. Throw your seed in the field. Whatever God's telling you to do, listen to me. You will get a harvest. God will bless you. It doesn't matter what category it is, whatever he's calling you to do. Listen, I'm blessed because I'm in the kingdom of God, a man's life, but God will bless his people through obedience. The Lord has made it clear, if we cast our bread on the water, it will come back to you multiplied many times over. Do you hear me? The Lord has made it clear that if we cast our bread upon the water, it's going to come back to us multiplied many times over. Whoever God calls, he equips. Some of us have a sack full of talent. You're skilled. You got skills that you can work in the kingdom of God and we can use you around here. There's a lot of, some are skilled in administration. Some are electricians and plumbers and carpentry. And some are just good with reaching out to the hurting. I mean, there's so many skilled people. Some others in this church, you have many different ministry abilities, which is the most powerful ministry in the church. Intercessory prayer. Are you using it? Don't die with a handful of grain. When people need you, whenever they need your abilities, your ministry gifts, your talents, don't die with a handful of grain. Others have finances. Don't die with a handful of grain when God told you to do something with that money. Don't die like that. I'm reminded of the story of the preacher. Brother Burt says was afraid of death. He's afraid to die. He had built so many different churches. He was in that room with him and he knew he was about to die and he was trembling. He was terrified to face God. It just startled Brother B.H. And he said, he went away and asked the Lord, "I'm confused, Lord. This man has built churches. He's loved you. He's done everything you've to God. He's got time. If there's anything in his heart, he's got time to make it right." And he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "I told that preacher to do something. And he refused to do it. Now he's afraid to face me. He's afraid he's going to die with a handful of grain." Do not die with a handful of grain. Cast it. Whatever it is, whatever God's called you to do. Can we stand? I just believe that the Lord is talking to somebody in this house today. There's some risk. You know, this, whenever we went to get the loan, I'm a very conservative with my personal finances, very conservative. I don't believe in a lot of debt. I'm very, very careful. I want to live way below my finances. And we operate this church the same way. And when we got ready to build this building back here, we were just going to get enough to pour the slab, get the metal building. I think it was $250,000 just to get the loan on this first building right here. Went to the bank and, I mean, we've been with this bank for years, ever since Brother Taylor and Sister Taylor started this church. And the banker, the president, said, "Well, we need to pull your credit." And I said, "Why are you pulling my credit?" "Sign as a guarantee or whatever." I said, "Well, that's going to tie me up, isn't it?" He said, "Well, you believe in what you're doing?" It's a nonprofit church. It don't belong to man. And if this was sold, it'd be a nonprofit organization. But he wanted my name on it. I'm like, "Really?" I said, "Absolutely. I'll take the risk." Because it's all about the kingdom. There's some times that you're going to have to take a risk. Well, what if it messes up? What if we lose out? What? That's the risk. No risk, no reward. No risk, no reward. Anybody who has started a business knows that you got to stick your neck out on the line. And you're wondering, "Do I really get this loan and buy this vehicle and rent this facility?" You're just believing that it's going to work out and the financial end is going to bring in a harvest. You know what I'm saying? You're planting that seed and you're hoping that a harvest is going to come in. That's just the way it is in the kingdom. With every decision that we make, is everything a surefire thing? Absolutely not. But God's a surefire thing. And all I know is this. If you know how it's going to end, it's not faith. But God, if you'll just show me, if you'll just prove to me that this is going to work out, I'll take that step of faith. He may not do that. If he did that, then there would be no activation of faith. All he wants you to do is hear his voice. Now, I believe it's that individual. If he tells you to take a lower paying job, if he tells you, whatever he tells you to do. Let's not make this something that's so big and a prestigious position somewhere. God's calling me to do this or that. It's not what it's about. It's the little things. If you can't hear his voice and obey his voice in the little things, he'll never use you in the big things. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to get your handful of grain. He wants you to cast it, whatever it is. Whatever he's called you to do, just do it. Jesus, use me. Please don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Cast your bread on the water. Circumstances are not going to be perfect. Do it anyway. Unless God tells you to wait, do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. Lord, for the people of God, for HTC. Oh, Lord, this is your church. This is the bride of Christ. I'm asking you, Lord, that nobody in this house would live with a regret that opportunity passed them by. They don't want to look down the road 5 years, 10 years down the road and say, man, I wish I'd have cast my grain in that field. I wish I'd have cast my bread on the water. Somebody could have got help. Somebody could have been changed. If I, at that moment that you spoke to me, oh God, I can never go back. It was during that time of planting, during that time that he wanted you to do something. Listen, we all have regrets. Forget the things that you failed to do and listen to the voice of God right now. Whatever he tells you to do, do it, church. Can we come and find a place to kneel at these altars? Whatever the Lord's talking to you about, no life, none of us lives or dies to ourselves. Everybody who can, please come and find a place to pray. No man lives or dies to himself. What does that mean? That means that the decisions that you make don't just affect you. The decisions that you make don't just affect you. Everything is a ripple or a domino effect. It affects somebody else, then somebody else, then somebody else. Bread upon the water. When you get the handful of grain and cast it into the sea, into the field, it makes an eternal difference because seeds multiply. One seed can end up being millions of seeds in time. One kernel of grain can multiply tremendously. You matter. The decisions that you make matter. Every fine detail matters.
It's hard.